ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतिरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 Chapter 66, chapter entitled Paundraka, the False Vasudev. Text number 9. Mukham tad api dayagya kanka gridravate irvrta shayishyase hatastatra भविता शरणं शुनाम मुखं तद् अपिदायज्ञ कंकगृद्रावटेर्वृता शयिष्यसे हतस्तत्र भविता शरणं शुनाम मुखं तद् अपिदायज्ञ कंकगृद्रावटेर्वृतः शयिष्यसे हतस्तत्र भविता शरणं शुनाम। मुखम फेस तत् दैट अपिधाय बीइंग कवर्ड अज्ञा ओ इग्नोरेंट मैन कंक बाय हेरॉन्स गृद्र वल्चर्स Vate and what are birds? Vritaha, surrounded. Shayishyase, you will lie. Hataha, killed. Tatra, thereupon. Bhavita, you will become. Sharanam, shelter. Shunam, for dogs. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When you lie dead, O fool, your face covered by vultures, herons and water birds, you will become the shelter of dogs. Purport. Paundraka foolishly told the Supreme Lord to come to him for shelter. But here, Lord Krishna tells him, you are not my shelter, but rather you will become the shelter of dogs when they happily feast on your dead body. Srila Prabhupada vividly describes this scene as follows. Lord Krishna told Paundraka, when I shall destroy you, foolish king, you will have to conceal your face in disgrace, and when your head is severed from your body by my disc, you will be surrounded by meat-eating birds like vultures, hawks and eagles. At that time, instead of becoming my shelter, as you have demanded, you will be subjected to the mercy of these low-born birds. At that time, your body will be thrown to the dogs, who will eat it with great pleasure. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milita Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachata Deshatarini Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I seek permission and blessings of all devotees, especially Srinadji Prabhu and Saidev Prabhu. Thank you. This is a very exciting chapter. Paundraka appearing as Krishna. The other day Prahlad Priya Prabhu was explaining very beautifully how if Paundraka was to come today, he would become very popular. He will have a large fan following. In fact, he may become more popular than even Krishna. That is Kali Yuga for you. Some years ago in the 1940s, there was in America, Monte Carlo, USA, there was a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest. So people had to come dressed as Charlie Chaplin and there to perform. So at that time, Charlie Chaplin was in America and he saw this news. So he decided to have some fun. So he went for the contest. So there were many people. So he was also one of them. So nobody knew that he was the original Charlie Chaplin. So then they had this contest. Everyone had to come and dance like Charlie Chaplin, act, and the judges would give marks. And Charlie Chaplin also came and he also performed. And at the end, guess what? Charlie Chaplin didn't win the contest. He didn't even come, forget the first prize, he didn't even get second or third prize. He got a consolation prize. So they just called him, but this man was very good, you know. So he was given a consolation prize. So this is a very interesting incident that the original Charlie Chaplin couldn't win the contest. So similarly, if Krishna comes now, there are already so many imposters going around as Krishna that Krishna will have to also seek popularity. So it's this is Kali Yuga for us. The duplicate, the Xerox is more popular than the original. And why everybody is laughing? If you see here, when Pandurakha sent this letter, King Ugrasena and all the ministers are having a hearty laugh when they read this letter where Pandurakha is demanding that you return the conch, disc, lotus and the mace, the symbols of Lord Vishnu. So Pandurakha is telling Vasudev, Krishna, that you give it to me. You are an imposter. So everyone in the assembly is laughing, because this is actually ridiculous. It's audacious on part of Pandurakha to demand like that. Because who is Krishna? The Bhagavatam describes when the demigods, now they are all telling Lord, they are offering a prayer. Vayuvam varagna pshitayastri loka brahma dayo ye vayamudvijantaha haramayasmai balimantakosa bibeti yasmad aranam tato naha. They are saying that, my dear Lord, Vayu, Amba, Kshita, Api, wind, air, sky, water, ether, Triloka, in the three worlds, all these elements are controlled by us, headed by Brahma. Brahma dayoye vayam udvijantaha. So led by Brahma, all of us are controlling these elements, but we are vayam udvijantaha. We are always living in fear. Imagine, all the demigods are in fear. And the proof is, they are saying, haramayasmai balimantakosa. Whatever we are doing, we are offering it as as an offering to time. We are giving it as a gift to Mr. Time. What a poetic way of saying that. We are on the verge of death. We have to leave our posts at any time. So our position is insecure. So very poetically they are saying, we are insecure. The demigods headed by Brahma are insecure. Bibeti asmadaranam tato naha. Bibeti. We are living in fear, but my dear Lord, you, aranam tato naha. Time is afraid of you. Very interesting. Demigods headed by Brahma are afraid of time. And time personified is afraid of Krishna. And here an insignificant entity, Pandurakha, is claiming that he is Krishna. So that's why everybody is, they just can't imagine that somebody can be so foolish. Somebody may say, if everybody is under time, is Krishna also under time? So the demigods clarify in the next verse. Avismitantam paripurna kamam svenevalabhe nasamam prashantam vinopasarpat aparam hi balisha shvalangulena tititarti sindhum. So they are now saying that, my dear Lord, you are not touched by anyone. You are not affected. So many Pandurakhas may come and go, but you are avismitam paripurna kamam. You are completely peaceful, equipoised, fully satisfied with yourself. Svenaiva labhena samam prashantam. You are prashanta. So Krishna is completely satisfied. And then they are saying, vinopa sarpat aparam hi balisha. If somebody gives up your shelter, vinopa sarpat aparam hi balisha. If somebody takes shelter of another person other than you, aparam hi balisha. He is a childish, foolish person. Here Pandurakha is telling Krishna to take shelter of him. And the demigods are saying that if somebody gives up Krishna and takes shelter of anyone else, he is what? Foolish and childish. Exact opposite. And then they are giving an example also. The demigods give an example. Vinopa sarpat aparam hi balisha shvahalangulena tititarti sindhum. Sindhum means ocean. So anybody takes shelter of anyone other than Krishna, he is like a person who holds to the tail of a dog and tries to cross the ocean. So what is the possibility of crossing the ocean by holding on to the tail of a dog? Even if a dog is a great swimmer, but he cannot swim across the ocean. So if we take shelter of anyone else other than Krishna, this is our fate. Somebody may say, but why? Why, if it is so obvious to demigods, this reality, Brahma and Indra and everyone is so, it's so obvious to them, why Pandraka is not able to realize this? Then they explain this in the next concluding verse by saying, Yaeka isho nijamaya yana sasarja ena nusrajami vishvam vayam nayasya pipura samihata pasya malingam prutagisha manina. So then the demigods are saying, why people like Pandraka are arising? They say, Yaeka isho, you are Eka Isha. You are the one Supreme Lord. Nijamaya yanna, everything is your maya. Everything is coming from you. Sasarja ena nusrajami vishwam. So you create us. And then we create the things in this material world. So we are not the actual creators. We are secondary creators. And then why people cannot know you? Vayam nayasya pipura samihata. This is so obvious, but still people cannot understand because Pasya Malingam Pritag Ishamanina. Because they see you, my dear Lord, they see themselves as separate from you. Pritag Ishamanina. Ishamanina means to consider oneself as Lord. So people think they are Lord and they see themselves as separate from you. Therefore, they cannot see that you are the Supreme Lord. So what a conclusive understanding the demigods are giving in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Pandraka is one such victim who is seeing Pritak Isha Manina, is seeing himself as separate from Krishna. And also in the previous verses it is described why Pandraka became so confident. Of course that is false confidence. But why he became so falsely confident? Because it is said Balramji had left Dwarka. So when Balram left, Pandraka thought now is a chance. So he was thinking that he was afraid of Balram. And then also second thing, the verses explain, he had bad association. Two things happened. One is Balramji went away. Second, he had bad association. So what is the result? He thought he is God. He is Krishna. Similarly, when connection to Guru is gone, Balramji is Adi Guru. So when we are not connected to our Guru in service, when we don't have a tangible service in relationship to our spiritual master, to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and then no seva, firstly, and second, bad association, internet, WhatsApp, Facebook. So just imagine, no service and internet. Gone. Our lives will be disastrous like Pandraka. And bad association has been the consistent theme in the scriptures. Not just Pandraka, who was bewildered by his associates who encouraged him. He said, yes, Balram is not here. You are actually Vasudev. Demand the conch from Krishna. He is of imposter. How they convinced him? Same thing happened to Kamsa also. When Krishna was born, we know the pastime. What happened? Vasudev went to Vrindavan with baby Krishna. And automatically the doors opened, all his chains got loose. So then Vasudev went, he replaced Krishna with Nanda and Yashoda's daughter. So when he came back to the prison cell, automatically the doors closed and again Vasudev was bound with chains. And Kamsa meanwhile was restless. He was wondering when this 8th child is going to be born, my killer, my time. So at that time the guards woke up and they came running to Kamsa and they announced that the 8th child of Devaki and Vasudev is born. So Kamsa came running with his sword and as soon as he came, he saw Devaki and he grabbed the child. And Devaki pleaded. Devaki said, my dear brother Kamsa, you are destined to be killed by a male child and I have given birth to a female child. So the 8th child is not a son, it's a daughter. So you have no danger from a girl. So please spare this child. Please give this child as a gift to me, as my daughter. And I promise you, My daughter shall become your daughter-in-law. I will give her as the wife of your son. Please spare this child. So she pleaded with lot of intensity. But Kamsa, because he was cruel, and Devaki also said this, that Kamsa, whatever has happened in the past has happened. Actually, you are a very nice person. But because of bad association, your wicked ministers advised you. And that's why all this happened. But let all bygones be bygones. Please spare this child. But Kamsa was so desperate, because when one is obsessed by sense gratification, he doesn't mind harming anyone. So very forcefully he grabbed Devaki's child by the legs and he lifted the child and was about to dash it on the ground on a stone. And that baby slipped from his hands and rose to the sky and assumed an eight-armed Durga form. And that was Mother Durga. And then she roared. She said, "You wicked fool, you think you can kill me? Your call, your time has appeared somewhere else." And then she disappeared. And this point of time, Kamsa was gripped by fear and regret. Immediately fell down at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki and started crying piteously, begging forgiveness for all the sins he had committed. Kamsa started saying that, "Please forgive me, oh my dear Vasudev, Devaki. I'm very cruel, and I know that I am going to go to the worst hell because I have committed so much atrocities against two pure souls like both of you. I killed your innocent children." Kamsa is deeply lamenting. Just imagine. So somebody at this point of time, if the movie ends, somebody would think, "Wow, what a nice story. Kamsa is begging forgiveness. All's well that ends well." But no, Kamsa is begging forgiveness and then he says, "But my dear sister and brother, I want to assure you one thing. Actually, I am not so guilty. I am sorry I did all this. But you know, this is the cheating of the celestial beings. I thought false propaganda exists only in human society. But even they are cheating. They made false announcement. So I was impelled to kill all your children. But I promise you, now I'll be a good boy, good man. Now I'll not do all these things. I'm very sorry." And then he started giving very nice philosophy. He said, "You know, I have nothing to tell you. I'm so sinful. But I have one thing to tell you, that you know, we are all destined by our karma. All what had to happen, all that happened was predestined. Just like we make many pots from clay, but after some time the pots break, but the earth remains. Similarly, we get many bodies, but ultimately, bodies will perish and the soul remains. So don't lament for all the children who were killed. And you are all, both of you are very large-hearted. I am very weak. I am fallen." Like this, he fell at their feet, cried piteously. And Devaki and Vasudev lifted him up. And Devaki, she forgave all of Kamsa's offenses. And Vasudev even smiled, saying that, "Kamsa, what you spoke is true. You know, these perishable bodies are nothing. The soul is eternal." And such a good exchange they had. And Kamsa also felt actually lightened. He felt forgiven. He felt peaceful. And he went back to his kingdom, his palace. And next morning, when he was seated with his ministers and he recounted what happened the previous night, all the ministers were unhappy. They were his wicked associates. And they said, "Oh king, this is a trick of the demigods. This eight child, this is a trick they are playing. Don't trust them. They are very cruel people. And they are all afraid of you. Don't you remember, our king, how you are so valiant? You fought against all the demigods and defeated them. And they had to run away in fear. And they came and put their turbans at your feet. And you are so magnanimous and large hearted that you forgave them. All glories to you, O king. You are so nice. And these demigods, what harm can they do to you? We should not allow them to make more tricks. Let us go and kill all the children who are born in the last 10 days. So that the child who is destined to kill you is killed before only. And demigods can't do anything, my dear king. What can Vishnu do? Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva, they are the topmost of gods. But Vishnu is already hiding in the hearts of all living entities, a super soul. He will never come out. He is so afraid. And Shiva? Shiva has left everything and has gone to the forest and he has taken sannyas. And he lives with ghosts and hobgoblins. So you don't have to fear from Vishnu or Shiva, and Brahma, Brahma is busy doing tapasya. So, what fear you have? And Indra, Indra is a straw in front of you. Don't worry, we will kill and finish all the demigods. But we can't be complacent. Because demigods are very, very dangerous. Because if we don't take action, then they will do something disastrous later. They are like a disease, which if it is ignored initially, then the disease becomes very fatal. If we don't control our senses in the beginning, later on the senses become uncontrollable. Similarly, if we don't take action against these demigods, they will later on cause a lot of problems. For let us kill all the Brahmanas, Vaishnavas and all children, because they are the root of Vishnu. When we serve the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, then Vishnu is pleased. So if we break this tree by the root, then Vishnu will be killed. So what advice, cruel, wicked advice they gave to Kamsa, and Kamsa got transformed again. So this is the power of association. So by wicked association, somebody like Paundraka, Kamsa can think of the unimaginable, challenge that personality whom time personified is afraid of. Bibeti yasmad aranam tatonna. That's why Gaurangpriya Prabhu, yesterday he gave a Bhagavatam class. Everybody was laughing so much. He made everyone laugh by giving a practical example of how when somebody is worshipped as great, how it is so laughable. I remember when some years ago when I was doing book distribution also, I met one man in the local train. It was so crowded, evening, 7 o'clock, peak hour traffic. And near Dadar, you know, you can't enter the train at that time, but somehow I was there with my book bag, shouting, making announcements. And there was one man who could barely sit, you know, he was the fourth person in that, you know, those three, and the fourth person can hardly sit. Just a few centimeters where he can somehow park his bottom, somehow he's sitting. And he was sitting and he looked at me, and I was trying to tell people, take these books, you know, and he was looking at me and he just waved his hand and he gave that, you know, that disgusting smile which you see in the serials where somebody who acts as God, he gives, as if he's very equipoised, as if he's very peaceful. In that crowded train, he was pretending as if he's very peaceful. And he said, "Child, your worshipable Yogeshwara is me." And he said, "Your search has ended." Yes. And then he did like this. I was so, I know I had that feeling in my stomach, you know, this is so good, so angry. Of course, because I was in ISKCON. If I was not in ISKCON, maybe I would have worshipped him. So disgusting. And fortunately, you know, there are a group of young boys who were standing there. They were also hanging. They could hardly stand, you know, in the train. And they knew that, hey, time, you know, this man is... And then they wanted to make some fun. So one fellow said, "Are, Bhagwan hai, Bhagwan idhar, Bhagwan, Yogeshwar." Other fellow said, "Are, usko bol seat dhundne ka, seat nahi uske." So they were pulling his leg, and he was like, you know, what are these kids talking? So, but everyone was laughing at his expense. So when Paundraka is claiming to be God, that's naturally Ugrasen and all the ministers are, what a fool, he's saying he's Krishna. Of course, now we should clarify, just because Krishna is laughing, that doesn't mean Krishna is happy. You know, sometimes we say, our goal is to make Krishna happy. So if Krishna is happy, laughing means happy. So if Krishna is happy, does that mean Paundraka is doing devotional service? So Kamsa made Krishna happy because he gave him a good fight. Kuvalyapida, he made Krishna very happy. When Kuvalyapida attacked, Krishna escaped. Then if Krishna fell on the ground, he tripped the elephant. And then he held Kuvalyapida by the trunk and swung him here and there and threw him away. So like that, so Krishna was enjoying. Does that mean Kuvalyapida is giving pleasure to Krishna? Chanur Mushtik are making Krishna happy? And sometimes Mother Yashoda, Krishna is angry with her. Or Krishna is angry with the gopis. Does that mean they are bad and the demons are good because they are making Krishna happy? No, we should clarify the definition of pure devotional service. Rupa Goswami says, Anyabilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhanavrutam Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Ruttama. Anukula means favorable. So although Mother Yashoda may have made Krishna angry, but her desire is what? To serve and love Krishna. That's why she is doing pure devotional service. And Paundraka, he may have made Krishna laugh and he may have given happiness to Krishna, but it is not Anukula Bhakti, it is Pratikula Bhakti. He doesn't want to please Krishna. So therefore, this is very important. that it is our attitude that determines. Sometimes people say, oh, how do I know if Krishna is pleased or not? Don't worry. What is your attitude? Are you sincere? Do you want to make Krishna happy? Then you don't worry. Krishna will be happy. And it is this attitude which is questionable here of Pondraka. Pondraka is in a big mess because he is trapped by which anartha? Envy. Pride. 9.1 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Arjuna, you are qualified to understand this most confidential knowledge because you are free from envy. So to understand Krishna, this is the qualification. Freedom from envy. And if you see in scriptures, there have been many like Pondraka who have been completely engulfed by this anartha. We have the example of Daksha, who actually criticized the most faultless personality, Lord Shiva. And in fact, how does he begin his... the fourth canto describes, Daksha begins his hurling of abuses at Shiva by first saying, oh respected gentleman, I am now going to speak, but please know, I am not speaking out of ignorance or envy. Nacha adhyanam, nacha matsarat. I don't have ignorance and I am not envious. So now I am going to say that Shiva is the lowest of all creatures. So he starts criticizing Shiva, but first he clarifies, but I am not envious. This is how powerful envy is. The anarthas are so powerful that the first thing that happens to us is our intelligence gets covered and we do reasoning and we justify our low activities. So this is the... And Daksha then started blasting. Now look at this. He started criticizing Shiva as an ugly creature who lives in the crematorium and who has his associates as ghosts and hobgoblins. Now little does he know that Shiva is doing a service to these creatures. He is giving them association and uplifting them. So sometimes we may see a devotee sincerely doing service, a thankless task which others are not able to do. And instead of appreciating him for his service, we may criticize him for that, saying that he is proud, he is arrogant, he is showing off, etc., etc. So how envy can cloud us? And this is not the only, that's another famous example in Mahabharata of Shishupal. You know what happened during the Rajasuya sacrifice? Agra Puja, the main worship, they had to decide who will be worshipped. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was confused because there was Shiva, Narad Muni, all great personalities were there. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Bhishma Pitama, who deserves this worship? And Bhishma immediately said, as the sun is the foremost amongst all luminous objects, Krishna shines amongst all personalities. He deserves the Agra Puja. And when Bhishma said this, Sahadev jumped up in great joy and he began to extol the virtues of Krishna. He gave a big speech, beautiful speech, glorifying how Krishna is the possessor of all wonderful qualities, how Krishna is the most fair and impartial, how Krishna is conquered by bhakti. And after hearing Sahadev's and Bhishma's proposal and Sahadev's speech, everyone in the assembly applauded, they cheered. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was very happy and with tears of gratitude, he started worshipping Krishna. And that point of time, the Chedi king Shishupal, he got up and he began to roar. He said, I am sure now that destiny is supreme. How can you explain selecting this imposter, this coward man who is a coward? He has no good qualities. Krishna's caste is unknown. He is not even a king. And there are so many powerful personalities in this assembly. Instead of choosing them, you have chosen Krishna. It is so disgraceful. Krishna is neither the wisest in this assembly, nor is the strongest, nor he be the most renounced. And like this, he started hurling abuses after abuses and people were shocked. And then Shishupal said, that we paid tribute to Yudhishthira Maharaj and agreed to come for this sacrifice because we considered Yudhishthira Maharaj as virtuous. But all madness is happening here because of this proposal by this madman Bhishma. And like this, he cursed. And then he looked at Krishna and said, everybody is foolish, they are proposing you, but you are shameless. You are accepting the worship. you are like a dog that enters the sacrificial arena and spoils the ghee that is meant for the sacrifice. How can you accept worshipping you is useless? It is not going to give any auspiciousness to anyone. It is like an impotent man getting a beautiful woman as his wife, or a blind man getting a chance to see the beautiful scenery. What is the use? For like this, he started criticizing Krishna and Bhishma and the Pandavas. And when he was saying this, Bhishma got up again. Because Bhishma, he had accused Bhishma of a wrong proposal. So Bhishma said, whoever doesn't approve of Krishna is definitely less intelligent. I pity you, Shishupal. Very regretful that you cannot see Krishna's wonderful qualities. And then Bhishma began to glorify how Krishna as a young boy killed so many demons were sent by Kamsa. How Krishna lifted the huge Govardhan mountain. And as Bhishma began to glorify Krishna, tears started coming from Bhishma's eyes. And then Narad Muni was there. Narad Muni said, one who doesn't accept Krishna, he may be alive, but he is dead. He may be breathing, but he is a ghost. So like that, Narad Muni glorified Krishna. And then Sahadev got up, because Shishupal, when he was angry initially, he said, Shishupal, he is a foolish boy. How can you take his word seriously? So Shishupal got up and he picked up his left foot and he kicked on the ground and he said, whoever dares to challenge Krishna's selection as the most fit candidate for Agra Puja, I challenge him to come forward. I'll kick him with my left foot. And everyone said, bravo, bravo. Everyone cheered him. So all this made Shishupal more envious. He had already heard so many abuses that. Sahadev challenged, Shishupal also said, yes, we are ready for a fight. So then Shishupal drew out his sword, and Shishupal had followers. He had supporters in the assembly. So they all got up, they all picked up their swords, and then Sahadev had his supporters, they picked up their swords, and then immediately Yudhishthir ran to Bhishma Pitama and said, what is happening? You know, there's going to be a war now. And Bhishma started laughing loudly. And he is the old grandsire, the wisest in the assembly, so everyone was shocked. He's laughing. And then he raised his hand and told everyone to sit. He said, no need of fight. Don't worry. Shishupal and his supporters, they are creating a big nuisance, but there is no worry. Because all of them are like barking dogs. And the dogs can bark as long as the lion is sleeping. So our dear Lord Madhava, Krishna, he is just watching. When he decides that fun is over, Shishupal and all his associates will be killed. It's a matter of time. And seeing Bhishma's fiery address, everyone was stunned. But Shishupal, when he heard this, he became reckless in his speech. He said, you infamous wretch of your dynasty, he began to criticize Bhishma. He said, society of blind people, when they are led by a blind leader, the whole society goes to ditch. So you are a blind leader of this blind society of Kurus. And now I know why you took this vow of celibacy, because you are an important eunuch. And this was too much because he is the most respected man. So earlier he was criticizing Krishna. Now Bhishma. So Bhima could not take it. Bhima just jumped up from his... And when Bhima roared, the whole assembly, the whole palace was shaking. And Bhima picked up his mace and ran towards Shishupal. And Bhishma caught Bhima and said, sit down. And Bhima sat. And then Shishupal said, oh Bhishma, let him come. Let the whole assembly see what happens to an insect when it rushes to fire. Let him come. So Bhima got more angry. Again Bhima got up. This time Bhishma just looked at Bhima and made him sit. And then Bhishma said, Bhishma spoke about how Shishupal, when he was born with 3 eyes and 4 arms. And there was an Akashvani, a voice in the sky, which said that this boy will be a great hero. But he will be killed by the supreme most hero. And Shishupal's mother had asked, who is that hero? And the voice replied that whoever on whose lap when the child is placed, the child will lose its extra eye and the arms. So she had gone around placing her child in everybody's lap, and when the child was in Krishna's lap, his extra arms and eyes disappeared. So then she was fearful that Krishna would kill her son. So she pleaded with Krishna not to kill her son, Shishupal. And Krishna said, I will forgive his 100 offenses. So Bhishma was recounting this. And then Bhima was pacified. Now Shishupal, but after hearing this also, Shishupal could not be tamed. Actually, Shishupal started abusing Bhima now. It's interesting, just a few days before this Yajna, Bhima and Sahadeva had exchanged very good friendship. Because Bhima had gone to the eastern direction to for the Rajasuya sacrifice, all different Pandavas, different brothers are going to different directions to get tributes. Bhima had gone to the eastern direction and he had met Shishupal, Chedi king, and Shishupal was a very gracious host. Bhima had spent lot of days with Shishupal, and Shishupal said, oh, Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing this Rajasuya sacrifice, I fully support this. Pandavas, you are the most virtuous people. He had so much appreciation for Pandavas. And he said, Yudhishthira Maharaj is a fit person to, deserves to rule the earth. And he happily paid tribute, and he happily came to the Rajasuya sacrifice. And now, he started criticizing Bhima, and then said, this Krishna is a cheat. He misguided Bhima to kill Jarasandha. So now he started criticizing both Bhima and Krishna. So like this, and then again started hurling abuses at Krishna, and everyone was watching because Bhishma had told them, a dog will bark as long as the lion is sleeping. So Krishna was just waiting, and at the right time, Krishna spoke. Krishna said, his 100 offenses are over. And then Krishna began to recount what Shishupal has done. He said, Shishupal, when I was not in Dwarka, he came to Dwarka and set fire to the city. He took many of our citizens as hostage. He stole away Akrura's wife. Then he recounted many sinful activities that Shishupal did. And then Krishna said, now his time has come. And then he invoked the Sudarshan Chakra. Shishupal drew out his sword to save himself against the chakra. But the chakra was swift. It beheaded him. And a very fearful effulgence rose from his body. And it entered Krishna's body. And everyone was, there was complete silence. So this is how Krishna is, you know. There have been many like Daksha, Shishupal, Paundraka were envious. We have the story of Gopal Chapal. What did he do? He got all scandalous things meant for tantric worship outside Srivasa's house, and he ascribed that to Srivasa's own dubious nature. But Srivasa took no offense, but Lord Chaitanya punished him. And it is not simply, you know, olden times that these envious activities were happening. History is full of envious people, proud people, who couldn't take others' progress. Like Mongolian king Genghis Khan, our Rishavanu Prabhu gave this example once, that he was a very big tyrant. And everybody, all the neighboring kings were paying him tribute. But these Mongolians, you know, their moustache is downwards like this. So Genghis Khan had a big moustache like this. But one of the neighboring kings was paying tribute, he had a moustache like this, up. So Genghis Khan couldn't take it. He sent a letter saying that you make your moustache down. How can you have a bigger... He refused. And there was a big war. And thousands of people got killed. So envy, pride is... History is filled with that. When we were young, there was this famous ad, Onida TV. Neighbors envy, owners pride. And we may think it's all history. No, it just last, I think, 6 months back, somebody sent me a clip. There was Miss Amazon Beauty Contest, Brazil. Just like we have Miss Universe, Miss India, there was Miss Brazil Amazon Contest. And there were three top finalists were on the stage. And they were about to announce who is the Miss Amazon. So all cameras were on and everyone. And then, you know, they are trained to, when the first prize is announced, the runner-up and the second runner-up, they are trained to smile and clap as if they are happy. But actually they are seething with envy. So they announced, this lady is the winner. So she was so happy. And others were laughing, clapping. But the first runner-up, she actually was so envious. It's live, it's there, recorded. She just held, she just kept smiling. And when the crown was placed on the winner's head, she just couldn't take it. She ran, she picked up the crown and threw it on the ground. And she hit her. This is live. You can see it. I don't know. Somebody sent me long back. 6-7 months back. So this is reality. Even now, of course, when we hear these stories, I know what many of you are thinking. Are, if this is envy, then I'm not envious because I never... Because I will never do like Gopal Chappal, you know, I will never do like this lady, and I will never be like Shishupal, Daksha. You know, generally when we hear about envy, how envy is dangerous, the first thing that comes to our mind is, "Acha, who all are envious of me?" That is a list we make. We never realize who are the people I am envious of. Anyway, so envy for us may not manifest so grossly, like, you know, picking up somebody's crown and throwing it on the ground. But we can know we have traces of envy if we do the following things. Now, first of all, if we're not happy when we see others are progressing, just examine your own heart. You know, if somebody is doing something very nice, what is the feeling you get? Thoda discomfort ho raha hai? And not feeling very happy means envy. If you're feeling very happy, hari bol, you know, like Lord Chaitanya, when he met the devotees in Puri, all the devotees were coming from Bengal, and he came running from Alarnath to receive the devotees, and he was glorifying devotees, and when he was glorifying each devotee, others are all saying hari bol. Others are also happy. When he met Shankar Pandit, he embraced Shankar Pandit and said, "You know, your brother Damodar Pandit is my childhood friend, but you are actually more dear to me." So when he said that, Damodar Pandit didn't become insecure, and Shankar Pandit didn't become proud. No, Shankar Pandit said, "I am the elder brother of Damodar Pandit, but today I declare him to be my elder brother because he is more dear to you." So like that, everyone is being appreciative of others. This is the first test. We can know if we are not feeling very happy when others get some success or some glory, that means we have envy. Others don't need to give us a certificate. I remember during yoga retreat camps many years ago, we used to conduct for the young boys. So the last event of this 3-day camp would be the quiz contest. So there would be groups. Krishna group, Balram group, Gauranga group, and Nityanand group. And each group would have 5-6 participants, the yoga retreat boys. And the quiz, we would make rules. We would say, for the goal of the quiz is, we want others to do well. So we will give right answer, we will rack our brains, so that we inspire others to get better marks than us. So when others get right answer, what will all the others say? Hari bo. So they all said, yes, yes, yes. All the rules they agreed. But when the quiz would start, and I would ask a question, and the group would give right answer, other groups would not say hari bo. They would be like, and that group, the group which gave the right answer, they would be shouting the biggest hari bo. But then there would be, you know, the quiz would get intense. There would be rapid fire, and we have to repeatedly repeat. Arey, dusre ke liye hari bol bolo. And it would be so artificial. It's so difficult to be happy when the competitor is doing better. So let us accept we have envy. So this is one way we can know we have envy. Second way is, you know, sometimes when somebody is doing really well, I don't know if you get this feeling, a wish, you know. थोड़ा वो थोड़ा मिस्टेक कर देगा तो अच्छा रहेगा उसके लिए अच्छा है ही विल बी यू नो वी मे जस्टिफाइड बाय सेइंग यू नो वी मे फिलोसोफाइज इट बाय सेइंग यू नो इट्स गुड ही विल बिकम लिटिल हम्बल यू नो थोड़ा उसको हम्बल होना चाहिए एक्चुअली इट इज एनवी व्हेन वी विश इतना क्या स्मार्ट है वो थोड़ा तो गलती करना चाहिए सो दिस फीलिंग ऑफ नॉट बींग हैप्पी और फीलिंग यू नो लेट ही मेक मिस्टेक्स और समटाइम्स यू गेट अ फीलिंग Yeah, now I know what is Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, when we are new, we don't know anything in bhakti. We don't know how to put on dhoti also. We don't know how to put tilak. So we are completely new. So we are very humble. Hari bol Prabhu, Hari vi. And the devotees teach us how to put tilak. And then in 6 months we learn, not only the basic things, we learn how to answer questions. For every challenging question there is a ready answer also, standard answer. So in 2-3 years, we know all Vaishnava bhajans. We are chanting 16 rounds, we are initiated also. And then we think, ye Prabhuji mere ko leke aaye the, bhakti mein, Prabhuji was here, I was here, now I learnt all the things and I have caught up with Prabhuji now, you know. So we don't realize that last 2-3 years, I have caught up with Prabhuji, but Prabhuji has also gone up, no? that we don't realize. So in Krishna consciousness, the distance between us and our, you know, devotees who inspire us in bhakti, who love us, the distance eternally remains. But we have this competitive psychology. We're coming from that background, unfortunately, you know, that not feeling happy at others' progress, or wishing he does something wrong, or feeling that I've caught up. You know, now I am also amongst the elite.
or also cynical attitude. You know, cynical attitude? Cynical means not impressed by anything, like, theek hai, you know. Like something divorced, somebody does nice kirtan, hurry, bol, we feel so happy, but somebody is cynical, they say, theek hai, no big deal. I remember one devotee, you know, early morning I saw him. He was early morning, 5 o'clock, he was singing loudly, Hare Krishna. He was coming to temple very happily, he had a big smile, and he was saying, Hare Krishna, he was singing, and I looked at him and I was saying, wah, kitna khush hai yaar. Kya advanced devotee hai, so blissful chanting Hare Krishna. So there was a devotee next to me, and he said, kuch advanced nahi hai. He is just happy because he must have cleared his stomach early morning. He said, he just push kar diya usne pura. So I told him, Prabhu, you may be right, but why not believe that he is actually advanced, you know? That is why he is chanting, theek hai, advanced hai, theek hai. This is called a cynical attitude. Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur gives a nice story of naked Pancho. There was one Panchanan who was a very big, was in a village. He went on to become a big magistrate, judge. So in the village, the people said, one man came and said, you know our Pancho has become judge. Aray, no. Nobody believed him. Nobody believed that villager. Because they were saying, how can he be a judge? He is a naked Pancho. He used to run around naked in our, you know, gali, mohalla. How can he become? So people can't accept that somebody could be good. That cynical attitude is very, very deep rooted. This is called as crab mentality. When crab exporters, they save lot of money because they don't have a lid to cover the boxes that in which they export crabs. Because they save lot of money because they don't need to cover the boxes because the crabs don't escape. But one crab tries to escape, the others pull him down. So similarly, cynical attitude means, you know, not appreciating others, not allowing others to grow. Anyway, there is so much on envy we could talk, but let us come to the point, how to address this anartha, because we all have envy, we are assuming that, and we need to struggle with it. I remember once Akhinjan Krishna Prabhu gave a nice class on envy, and after the class one devotee said, Prabhuji, kya important class tha, very important, Prabhu. I wish those three devotees were here, unke liye tha ye class. So that time I realized, oh, actually these classes are meant for us, you know. We immediately know it's applicable. So now let us work on envy. What are the solutions? Solutions Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to Rupa Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. So Lord Chaitanya compared the Bhakti creeper to a beej, to a seed. Now, we all have been given this seed of bhakti. The seed is there in our heart. Now, we have to become a gardener. We have to become the mali. We have to take care of this beech. And it's very beautifully, analogously or parallelly, we can draw comparisons of a seed that grows in the garden to bhakti that grows in our heart. Just like, what is the first thing the seed needs? Water. You have to water the seed every day. Similarly, the bhakti beej in our heart, the seed of bhakti that has been planted by Guru and Krishna, the first thing we have to do is hearing and chanting. Chanting is the first thing. Taramadhe sarvasreshta nama sankirtan nirapradhe nam lole pabe premadhan. So first is chanting. Then, once you start watering the seed, now you cannot just take a seed and you can't say, okay, now this floor is here on this temple hall. Now you cannot make a hole in the floor and put the seed there and put water on it. So what else you need other than water? Soil. Soil refers to the association of devotees we have. A culture, the culture of devotee association, sangha. So first is, what is the first thing we need? Water means chanting. Second, soil. Soil means company, the company we have or association we have. Now, both may be there. Let's say we have planted a seed in a nice place, watering it daily, nice soil, fertile soil. But suddenly a cow comes and eats up that seed plant. Or a mad elephant comes running and tramples upon it. So what you also need is to fence it, protect it, or we can call it as care or conscientious. A devotee is very conscientious by nature. He's careful to a fault. He's introspective. He constantly examines his own heart. So these three are very important. First is chanting. Second, company. Third, care or conscientious. So just like the seed needs watering, fertile soil and a proper protection, fence. Similarly, our bhakti lata bij will grow if out of the four, these three we take care of. That is, we do hearing and chanting every day. We are in the association of good devotees. We practice the culture of Krishna consciousness where we have programs like this on Sundays. We come together. And third is care. Not offending Vaishnavas. Mad elephant offense. Mahaprabhu told Rupa Goswami, Hati Mata. When we criticize other devotees, we are destroying our Bhakti Lata Bij. Once we do these three, then the fourth C, which is the causeless mercy, that we attract. That is compared to the sunlight. Ultimately, you have everything, but if there is no sunlight, the plant will not grow. And the sunlight is not in the control of the gardener. Similarly, the mercy of Krishna, that will come. But to attract that mercy, we have to work on what are the four things that are needed to overcome our anarthas, to take care of our bhakti lata: chanting, company, care and causeless mercy. First and most important is chanting. Because chanting, the biggest advantage is, you know, what happens when we do proper chanting is we feel contented. We feel, which you see, each other devotees are sincere in their chanting, are attentive in their chanting. They'll feel, you know, nourished, satisfied. And then that insecurity goes away. Most of the envious activities we do is because of insecurity. Because you are feeling rich. A rich man will not be threatened by a beggar's earning few extra rupees. Similarly, a devotee who is feeling rich by connecting to Krishna through chanting, he will not be insecure. You know, like in the outside world, I don't know nowadays, but when I was a young college student, I remember we used to watch cricket matches, and in Wankhede Stadium, when one World Cup match, there was a match between some Zimbabwe and some other country, Kenya or something. And all the spectators are Indians, and everyone in the stadium was shouting, Pakistan, hi, hi. So, I was trying to understand, neither Pakistan is playing the match nor India is playing. I had gone there because I had got a free pass. I had nothing to do. So I went and I'm seeing, and then I was not saying hi hi. So one fellow went, "Bol Pakistan hi." I said, "Okay, yaar, kya hai?" You know, he said, "Arey, you are not a patriot." So I said, I realized once patriotism is defined by how much you hate your neighboring country. Come on, you know, I'm indifferent. Like somebody told me, India World Cup nahi jeeta chalega. Pakistan ko haraya na bas. I said, what a shallow aspiration we have. You know? So this is very shallow. One is very poverty stricken. That's why he's thinking like this. But so what I'm saying is, the first point about chanting is, you know, chanting one feels rich. One is not having these petty ambitions. But along with chanting, there has to be company, the association of good devotees, because Lord Chaitanya tells Rupa Goswami further, Kintu Latara Sange Ute Upasha Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kame Asankhya Thara Lakh. He says that Latara, along with the Bhakti Lata, Ute Upashak, the weeds also grow. The weeds, you know, they look like the creeper only. The plant is growing. The weeds also grow. And the weeds look exactly like the creeper. Amazing. But the difference is, the weeds, they grow and they choke up the bhakti lata. They choke up the plant. And when we are watering the plant, we are actually watering the weeds also. So gardener has to carefully pluck out the weeds. Yesterday, Gaurang Priya Prabhu, during the end of the class, he just shook us. He said, if we are not careful in our chanting, we may be thinking we are watering the bhakti lata, but we are watering something else. We are watering the weeds. So if you're only chanting ritualistically, mechanically, without working hard on our aspirations and motivations, without taking an honest stock about ourselves, and like, it's painful, no? For a gardener to pluck out the weeds. It's painful. But if we don't do that, then a chanting may not actually work. Kaviraj Goswami, Lord Chaitanya tells in the Madhya Leela that koti koti janma kore yadi shravana kirtan tabutona payapade Krishna premadhan. You may chant for millions of lifetimes, still you may not get love of Krishna if you are not watering the weeds and if you are not plucking out the weeds. So therefore, plucking out the weeds is painful. To accept that I am envious, that is, we sometimes say, Prabhu, I am envious. You know, these are all statements we make because these are politically correct statements to make in a society of devotees. Prabhu, I am fallen. Prabhu, please give me mercy. No, Prabhu, you are not fallen. I am fallen. No, Prabhu, I am in Maya. No, Prabhu, I am in Maya. No, Prabhu, you are in Yog Maya. I am in Maha Maya. So there are some clished dialogues, you know. So we may not even know what we are saying. But it's very painful to accept when that reality dawns that I'm envious. That's painful. It's like to pluck it out is even more painful. When Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, 1976, so Gopal Krishna Maharaj narrates this incident that Akshayanand Maharaj came. There was some dispute between Akshayanand Maharaj and Hamsadutta Maharaj. Achyutanand Maharaj and Hamsadutta Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada called Achyutanand Maharaj and said, so sannyasi means you should keep traveling, not stay in one place. So take your bus party and travel everywhere and distribute books. So then he called Amphadut Maharaj and said, sannyasi means take responsibility in one place. Stay here and develop this place nicely. So both of them, yes, Prabhupada. And they both went. And then Gopal Krishna Maharaj told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are a genius. Amazingly you solved this dispute. And Prabhupada said, yes, all contradictions are solved in Krishna consciousness. But these disputes, you know, these disputes will all be solved if we simply realize. And then Prabhupada took his palms, put it behind his head and leaned on his chair, which was a kind of resting chair. And he said, if we simply realize I am a servant, that's all. Then there will be no dispute. So this is very difficult to realize I am a servant. Not to be envious. When in 1971 Kolkata, when Yamuna Mataji, she prepared very nice prasad for Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada said, Yamuna, excellent prasad. So she was sitting little far. So Srila Prabhupada said, so are you teaching the other girls also how to cook? You are a great cook. So Yamuna was about to answer. From inside, this dialogue was being heard by Vishakha Devi. She was inside. So she said loudly, no, Srila Prabhupada, she is not teaching us. So then Srila Prabhupada looked at Yamuna. Oh, you are not teaching the other girls? If you don't teach others what you have, you will become envious. You should give what you have. So Srila Prabhupada was he knew that this is dangerous anartha, and he would insist that devotees give up this anartha. And it requires hard work. Actually, you know, the reality is, if we do nice chanting, the three things, what are the three things to attract the fourth C? There are four C's. First is chanting. Second, company. Third, care. And then, causeless mercy. But to attract causeless mercy, we have to do the first three. And now, when we do these three things, when we chant with care, attention, and in the association of devotees, now, sorry to say, these three processes, they don't remove envy, they reveal envy. Of course, they remove later, but first, you know, we have to realize that I have envy. Otherwise, you know, the pain of knowing that I have these anarthas cannot be bypassed. Otherwise, how will you surrender to Krishna? You see what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, when we are chanting attentively, what are we doing? Okay, like, simple question. When we are chanting attentively, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So if you are listening to the holy name, what are we listening to? We are actually listening to Krishna. Because Krishna is non-different from his holy name. So if if I'm trying to be attentive, if I'm listening to the holy name, that means in effect I'm listening to Krishna. Just imagine you are with Krishna and Krishna is talking to you if you're listening attentively. And what do you think Krishna will tell you? Krishna will tell you very sweet things. He will tell you so many loving things. But is that what happens in any loving relationship? No, Krishna will tell us sweet loving things and will also tell us some painful truths also. And that's how a loving relationship, you can't expect, you know, you ask any person who is in love, having a very loving relationship. I remember one Grastha friend of mine. He was once driving in his car and he called me and I was talking to him on the phone. And I kept the speaker phone on. And we were in school, Govind Prabhu and myself, and we were. And then I said, okay, and I kept the phone. And I forgot to switch off the speaker phone and disconnect. And I kept the phone and I continued working on my article. And Prabhuji also forgot to disconnect and you were driving. And then he kept the phone. And then his wife was next to him. And she started blasting him, left, right, center, something. And I said, Prabhu, what is happening? And we heard. For 2 minutes we heard she was shouting at him. And he was quiet and he was driving. And then we thought we were doing something wrong. So I just disconnected. And then after a few days I met him, I apologized to him. I said, Prabhu, you know, that day you spoke to me and then after that you kept the phone and her wife was shouting at you like anything. But she's so different when she's in this group and you know, we are so he was smiling. He said, yeah, Prabhu. So I said, Baap re, itna humble kar diya aapko. So then he said, Prabhu, ye to trailer bhi nahi tha. So I said, what? So he said, yeah, Prabhu, I'm really humbled. But I said, but I see you are very happy. He said, yeah, Prabhu, I'm happy because, you know, she's very loving. And, you know, we share a very good bonding. But Prabhu, that love doesn't come free. You know? There is a lot of crushing on the false ego. So I feel happy that I have an emotional companionship, you know. He was telling like this. You know, I'm grateful to Krishna. I'm grateful to Krishna that I have a very balanced, happy grihastha life. But there is a price I have to pay. So then we were sitting and discussing about how our relationship with Krishna is also like that. You know, we want, you know, when we are attentive to Krishna, it's like developing a relationship with Krishna. And we can't expect Krishna to only say whisper sweet nothings to our ears. You know, Prabhu, I love you, you are so nice. No, Krishna, just like in any relationship, the spouse would humble you. Similarly, Krishna would also humble us. You know, you tell us, Prabhu, you are nonsense. This is the first realization. Cheto darpana marjanam means this. Cleansing of the heart means to realize that I have these anarthas. And those who can make this bold step of accepting their own shortcomings and inadequacies in devotional service, they are the ones who can attract the fourth C, and that is causeless mercy. Like, you know, last year there was one very nice book that came out 2 years ago by Jim Collins called Good to Great. So this man and his team from Harvard, they took a list of hundreds of companies, thousands of companies over the last 200 years from 1813 onwards, the year when Napoleon was defeated. That is the year Citibank was formed. So from last 200 years, what has made leaders and companies tick? Who are the greatest leaders and what is the secret? Thorough research with so many graphs and statistics. And I was going through that book to find the essence. What are the, you know, what does the research and study prove? And they came out with some few sutras, which is a consistent observation in all the great leaders. So they pointed out that one of the most common thing in all the great leaders for the last 200 years is that those who have actually made a positive impact on society, they are those leaders who are deeply conscientious. They are careful about their faults and they work on their inner anarthas. They don't call it anarthas, but they call it as their own inner limitations. So I was so happy to read that. That is very, very parallel. That is very similar to what we talk about. Our devotee has to work hard. He has to pluck out the weeds. So this author, he writes, he gives a very good poetic understanding. He says, this is a mirror and the glass philosophy. He says, most people in this world, when they are successful, they look at the mirror. Oh, I'm so nice. I did this. And when they fail, they look out of the glass. Oh, he is responsible. He is responsible. He is responsible. And then he said, the real successful leaders are those who, when they are successful, they look out of the glass. Oh, he is responsible. He is responsible for my success. He is responsible. And when they fail, they look into the mirror. So the point is, a devotee is sincere. That is proved by how introspective we are and how we understand that whatever success we get in devotional service is because of so many devotees. And then when we have this mood of chanting, the proper association and the care, then we attract the mercy. When Bhavanand Prabhu told Giriraj Maharaj, Maharaj, you got so much association of Srila Prabhupada, you are so dear to Srila Prabhupada, you are so nice, he glorified him so much. And then Giriraj Maharaj just raised his hand and said, no Prabhu, I am simply a mercy case, that's all. So this realization when a devotee gets, his life is success. That our life is based, you know, we are like held by different different mercy factors in bhakti. So many devotees are responsible. I remember seeing my own father, you know, he was very athletic, very wealthy, and once as time does to everyone, he went through a bypass surgery. So it was a second heart attack, and then he was in the hospital. So to see such a person, you know, whom I had always seen like that, and now to see him so vulnerable, and they didn't allow anybody to go inside, and he was in that, you know, intense care. So they allowed, because I was his son, they allowed me to see him. For those few moments I saw him, he was, you know, on the bed with so many wires and so many pipes, so many things. That whole setup was, and I was seeing everything is interconnected there, you know. Actually, that's how our bhakti is. You know, we are like in ICU of bhakti. So many factors are holding us. It's a very fragile condition. We just can't take the process for granted. We can't think that I am okay in bhakti. No, any moment the illicit energy can trap us. And Sridhar Maharaj also, when he took sannyas in 1975, Srila Prabhupada asked him, so, you are going to take sannyas now? Are you 100% sure you will maintain sannyas? And you know, Prabhupada asks a question like that, you can't lie. So immediately he folded his hands and he said, no Prabhupada, I am not confident. Prabhupada said, are you 75% confident that you will maintain sannyas? He said, no. Are you 50% sure? Then immediately he fell at Prabhupada's feet and he said, Prabhupada, I need your causeless mercy. Only then I can serve in the sannyas order. And then Srila Prabhupada smiled. He said, all right. And then Prabhupada gave him sannyas. So to teach us how, you know, this is our ultimate, even Japa book if you read, Burijan Prabhu writes so many techniques for improving chanting, determination, hearing one Maha Mantra, the 9 keys he gives. And the last one he says is, causeless mercy. But to attract that mercy, we have to take the association of devotees seriously. We have to chant in that association and we have to work hard individually to pluck out the weeds. And then, if we are doing this, then Krishna consciousness appears a wonderful process. And then there is no room for envy, no room for insecurity. And Krishna consciousness is also then becomes like a transcendental, you know, Olympics. Like in Olympics or in outside competition, only one person wins and everybody else loses and they become envious. In Olympics, in marathon race, in Olympic, what happens? The person comes first, he gets what? Gold medal. And the one who comes last, nobody knows. But in Krishna conscious Olympics, it's a little different. You know, we are all running towards Krishna. Some of us may reach first. Some of us may be lagging behind. Some of us may slip and fall. But everyone will be received by Krishna. Even if we have fallen down, what we have to do? We have to rise. Just like you're running a marathon race, if you slip and fall, what do? You get up, put some band-aid, ointment, get up and again run. Similarly, we are all running to Krishna. We have our frailties, we have our shortcomings. Some of us may run really fast to Krishna and some others may slip, fall, but we all are running. And those who come first, Krishna is there in the stadium to receive them, give them gold medal. And if you are the last one in the race and when you run and you reach the stadium, you will see everybody is there waiting for you also. And when we enter, we will also get gold medal, you know. Krishna will give, so this is very unique, Krishna conscious Olympics. Everybody is received by Krishna. Everybody is loved by Krishna. For there is no scope for envy or insecurity if we practice these sacred principles of being in the association of devotees and chanting with care. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Grantara, Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the nice class. So, I mean, you are telling that when we water the Bhakti Lata beach, the weeds also grow. So, I just wanted to know, when you can give some examples of what all those weeds are and how they can be detected.
Yeah, kuti nati, jiva himsa. Just like, you know, you clean the room. If the room is dirty for 10 years, and you come and put one bucket of dirt, nobody will notice it also. But once you start cleaning, what happens? All the dust starts rising. Similarly, when you start chanting, that's when the dirt from the heart starts getting cleansed. So all the unwanted things in the heart, like, you know, lust, envy, greed, anger, it comes out. So if it comes up, that doesn't mean you give up the chanting, saying that chanting pe jyada ho raha hai. Like one devotee told me, this is a true story. He said, Prabhu, my relationship with my family was always neutral, you know. It is neither too loving nor fighting. And we were like, okay, they would allow me to do what I want, and I was okay with them. But suddenly after I became devotee, and when I would chant at home, I would feel, I don't know why, I would feel so angry with my parents and my brothers. I would feel like shouting at them, fighting with them. I don't know why, it's a sudden gush of anger. Then I would ask him, what would you do? He said, I would just continue chanting, and then end, I would be alright, you know, peaceful. But when you're chanting, you know, things start churning hota hai thoda heart mein. But that doesn't mean you get nervous or you panic. And these anarthas, they rise, and we have to patiently. Utsaha nishchayat deryat. So just because we are devotees, sometimes we think, just because I put tilak and kantimala, I am a devotee, now I will be happy, I'll be pure. No. There is a book, nice book written by Satsarup Maharaj. From imperfections, purity will come about. So we can't expect easy journey in bhakti, in the sense, no, it's not utopia, you know. It's not that I chant Hare Krishna, so I am relieved of all problems. No. The churning will happen. When other devotees succeed, we may feel a little uncomfortable, then we have to negotiate with those feelings, what's happening to me. So those kind of churning happens, especially we're in the association of devotees. So we have to just hang on with serious, sincere introspection. So that's how these anarthas work, especially in the life of a devotee. And when we start chanting, you know, initially Krishna gives a free sample. We feel first kirtan is free. You know, you start jumping, dancing, and then Krishna demands a price. Surrender. So there is, when we make a conscious choice of surrender, then we rise to the next level. So in bhakti, whenever we become comfortable at a certain level, let's say you started coming to temple, 6 months ho gaya, you are chanting 4 rounds, things are happy, you are at a comfortable situation, okay? Krishna is seeing, other Gopinath is seeing you, and you are chanting also. Aapko lag raha hai, life bahut comfortable hai, chemala chal raha hai, mandir aa raha hu. So you are at a certain plane. So what happens, Krishna, because he personally orchestrates the lives of devotees, as you are in this circle, comfortable situation, he arranges situations in our lives by which we are shaken from this situation. Where only if we make a conscious choice of surrender, we rise high, we go to the next level. Then again there, you know, let's say we may have to consciously surrender to Krishna by increasing to 16 rounds and then taking up some service, some responsibility. And then at that level you remain, and as soon as you get comfortable at that level, then again, test. Again the anarthas start churning, and then conscious choice of surrender. Then we go to the next level. Like that, we come to Krishna. Just like from 5th standard you go to 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. एग्जाम होता है ना फ्री में, एज सून एज यू एंटर द स्कूल यू आर नॉट डायरेक्टली पुट टू द 10th स्टैंडर्ड, यू गो थ्रू टेस्ट. सिमिलरली इन भक्ति वी गो थ्रू टेस्ट, एंड दैट्स वी गो थ्रू दिस लॉन्ग पीरियड कॉल्ड अनर्थ निवृत्ति, विच इज द स्टेज वेर द अनर्थस वी गेट क्लेंज्ड ऑफ द अनवॉन्टेड थिंग्स इन द हार्ट. सो दैट्स हाउ भक्ति इज. भक्ति इज अ वेरी स्वीट प्रोसेस. सो इतने आप ही सर्जरी चल रहा है, बहुत पेनफुल है, बट देर इज एनेस्थीजिया. दिस इज नॉट अ पेनफुल सर्जरी. द एनेस्थीजिया इज लविंग एसोसिएशन ऑफ डिवोटीज. इफ यू हैव लविंग एसोसिएशन ऑफ डिवोटीज देन यू फील हा, यू फील द यू डोंट फील द पेन ऑफ द सर्जरी. जस्ट लाइक यू नो वेन यू कम ऑन संडे एंड सिट इन द कीर्तन एंड द प्रोग्राम भागवतम क्लास, यू सी हरी सो मेनी डिवोटीज आर देर, यू सी दैट सो मेनी डिवोटीज आर देर, देन यू फील वॉट यू फील. चलो यू नो लाइक आई टेल यू माई एक्सपीरियंस. समटाइम्स यू सिट इन द क्लास, ब्रह्मचारी क्लास, इट हैपन्स, सो मेनी डिवोटीज आर सिटिंग एंड देन यू सी ओ हू इज ऑल्सो देर, ओके ओके, ही इज ऑल्सो स्ट्रगलिंग, ही इज ऑल्सो देर, ओ ही इज स्ट्रगलिंग, ही इज ऑल्सो देर, सब है साथ में है, चलो चलो. यू फील, यू फील. सो वेन यू कम ऑन संडे यू सी ओ प्रभु जी हैज कम टूडे, ओ ही इज ऑल्सो कम, बिकॉज वी नो यू नो लाइफ इज टफ आउटसाइड. सो दिस एसोसिएशन इज एक्ट्स एज अ वेरी गुड बाम, इट्स अ वेरी गुड एनेस्थीसिया. So if you have loving relationship with devotees, and then let us allow the holy name to cleanse our heart. And you know, this is one of the reasons why devotees are happy despite the material world being so unforgiving and relentless, even to devotees. Otherwise, it's madness outside. I hope that's okay. One last question we'll take, and then when I chant, I get thoughts that if I chant attentively, then I will be appreciated and glorified by others. So what should I do to avoid such thoughts of getting appreciation of glorification? Answer is keep chanting. And very soon you will see nobody will glorify you. You may chant 192 rounds and people will not say anything to you. So don't worry, this is not so serious issue. If you chant attentively, I will get appreciated and glorified. Actually, you know, we many times don't want to work hard on our chanting. Why? Because if we work hard on our chanting, then we may realize that good chanting is beyond me. You know, we may fail because Krishna is not Krishna cannot be controlled by some technique of chanting. It's not that if I learn these techniques, my chanting will be great. No, sorry. So, but if I claim chanting is important, and then whenever you make chanting as your goal, you will be also faced with a stark reality that good chanting is beyond us. So, our aspiration doesn't guarantee success. In fact, when we make good chanting as our goal, we may fail. But that failure will bring us nearer to Krishna. In Krishna consciousness, if we can realize that my chanting is not good, that failure is actually 50% success. And then if we can turn to Krishna, because Krishna is conquered only by humility. So if we make chanting as our, attentive chanting as our goal, what will happen? We will feel humbled. Because imagine telling everyone, attentive chanting is most important, 99% is dependent on chanting, 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 chanting. You glorify chanting, but then you have to also face the bitter truth that your chanting is not so good. Because chanting is not some technique, you know, it's not some mystic siddhi that you can attain. So when we glorify the holy name, we glorify Krishna consciousness, but we are ourselves so weak. So, but that humility attracts Krishna. So first step is sincerity. I want to chant attentively. That sincerity leads to humility. Humility doesn't come just like that. Burujan Prabhu says, humiliation comes before humility. We have to feel humbled. We have to feel that, you know, good chanting is beyond me. And then in that situation, when we take shelter of Krishna, we can chant attentively. So like this, we can all struggle together happily in the association of sincere devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Itai Gaur Premananda.